As the new year approaches, are you ready for more? More health, more vitality, and more well-being. Hi, this is Pastor Ginny, and for 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching people how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned that by taking one natural substance, I could begin to activate that power in my genes and achieve the more that I desired. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and offer you a free sample of the product that I've been using for almost 2 years that has created extraordinary results in my life. Go to www.rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll-free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful enough to destroy the causes of many serious diseases, such as strep, staph, pneumonia, colds, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com and like us on Facebook.
The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently taught America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
If I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard.
And think to yourself, there's no place like home.
There's no place like home.
I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right. You've landed on Homegrown Health with Joni Cox, a show about everything and anything pertaining to home, including parental rights, home birthing, home schooling, and even raising homegrown kids naturally.
But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Content in this program is not intended to diagnose or treat any ailment or illness and is for educational purposes only. It's Homegrown Health on Natural News Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Cox. Liam Sheff joining me again. Thank you, Liam, for always being my go-to radio guy when it concerns all fun topics like New Year's resolution.
Woof.
We get so much feedback. I love having so much fun with you on the air. So thank you so much. So tell me, let's talk New Year's resolutions. What are some of the best and worst ones that you've experienced or had or made for yourself?
Oh, I never make them. I remember when that was a thing as a kid. What have you resolved for New Year? It's a very funny thing. I don't know if it's only an American thing, but it's as though we live so badly all the time. We have one chance every year, just one moment, you know, the turning of the clock, the flipping of the thing, right, to make a promise to ourselves that we won't continue to be the slobs that we've been. But I've been working pretty hard at not being the slob that I've maybe been for a long time. That doesn't make me better than other people. Being a vegetarian makes me better than other people. No, I just think it. Okay.
Them's fighting words them's now. Maybe I better get some English lessons.
Nothing makes anybody better than anybody else. We're all here for an individual thing. You can do things that strangely make you worse than you should be, but it's not about really comparing.
Doing things worse than we should be, like being snarky at our kids?
Oh, that was funny. Go ahead, tell the story.
So Liam says, yeah, I'll do the show with you. And I said, okay, so I'm going to call. And he wasn't available. And I forgot. I had that moment where you forget what you're doing entirely because you get interrupted. And so I completely forgot what I was doing, had no idea his voice message was recording. And one of my children came out after me repeatedly telling them not to. And so I just got really stressed and snarky, like, what do you want? And it was recording the whole time. And then I sent him a note like, please disregard that voice message because I'm really embarrassed.
Yeah, you think that you say terrible things, but I've never heard you say anything terrible. You think that, I mean, there were times at my house growing up was like, Mommy Dearest, and we were, you know, I'm serious, fighting and screaming, both of us, my mother, and then my father was, you know, violent some of the time, and then he was just totally passive and weird and absent a lot of the time. So what you said was like, honey, I haven't slept. I've been up. I'm really sorry, but you know, and that's about it. Your voice was a little tense, but you didn't say, you know, I mean, I don't know, by the age of 12, I had kind of we had a cursing dictionary at home, you know, we like just to translate what we were, it was bad. It was bad. I'm not trying to, it was bad. It was,
you're not trying to be funny. And this is the actual reality.
It wasn't good.
That
and
makes me laugh.
No, I was very unhappy at home, and I called my mother. You know, it was the Xmas thing. X marks the spot mass. Crass mass. Crass mess. Mm-hmm. I'm calling it crass mess from now on. It's a big mess of crassness. Not that individuals celebrating crass mess are crass or making a mess. I spent the holiday actually with a very nice couple of families, and they very low key. You sort of totally forgot what the commercial thing was about. It's a small town, and you know, people crossed the street, went to each other's house and had a meal and talked.
Right.
It was very, very pleasant. And the kids got some gifts. Very small, relatively inexpensive gifts. Nobody got a 90-inch TV with the Dark Knight trilogy, DVD, Blu-ray, Plurpro-ray shooting into their brains. Nobody needed that.
$2,000 worth of entertainment.
No, only $19.99. I mean, I love it when you go to the Best Buy, a.k.a., you know, offshore Hong Kong right here in the United States. Then you walk in, and it's like you see a price, and they have the temerity to put only in front of it.
Right. You're like, only?
What is that supposed to do? You mean if I manage to scrape up $2,000, I can call it only $2,000?
It minimizes the value of it somehow, which is pretty typical.
Yeah. So I don't make, what are those called? Not predictions. What was the word?
Assumptions?
No. Well, I try not to. But what was the thing that we're doing this on?
Oh, New Year's resolution.
Resolute. Yeah, I'm pretty resolute all the time. I try not to make resolutions yearly. If I have to change something, I try to handle it right away. I'm the guy who does the dishes like while I'm cooking.
Nice.
Like, when I'm done cooking, you wouldn't even know I was in the kitchen.
So you're a very good time manager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Very efficient.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I can get a big project done in a short period of time. I think I might have some... I mean, I don't know. But you still... Well, that's a different story. I was thinking...
You make me lean into the microphone and go, yes.
Yes. You know, there's the question of... You know, there's the culture that we live in and the ways that you could be a success in the culture that we live in. And I'm sure I've been told, man, I don't understand. Boy, you're robbing yourself of your own success. And I think there was like a notion, if I had started out doing the journalism and sort of been a succubi, like a, like a lot of the people, I probably had what it took in just in terms of personality and delivery to walk that, but I never even thought about it. I was always like, well, what's true? You know, what's true? So resolutions. I've learned to be more focused over time. I think that's something that people need to do to find out the things that are priorities, because we create all sorts of little games in our head about things that are important. To eat healthier is everybody's.
That's always on everybody's top of the list, whether they actually do it or not.
Continue to walk your path, your spiritual path. People will say things like, well, I'm going to have more fun this year. I think, okay, that's good. So, but, you know, it's a little narcissistic, but it's good.
Very true. I did a commercial once for a chocolate factory. The commercial said, eat more chocolate. How about we give you a resolution? We know you'll keep.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've losing weight's always one. Quit smoking is another. Work out more is one. I tend to think about it more or less in like reflection of the previous year and what I've learned from that and how to make adjustments for the following year. That's more or less what I do.
So you heard Joni's going to quit smoking, drop a couple pounds and go to the gym.
Yeah, well, those aren't the ones. I know.
You don't smoke.
I don't. I used to.
Really?
Yes. I smoked I was a real good smoker. For 5 years, I smoked cigarettes. And when I found out I was pregnant with my first child, I quit and haven't done it since.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a rejoinder.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. He's quiet.
It's a good thing.
He's hung up.
No,
because I've scared him off,
no
longer wants to be associated with me I was a smoker.
No, listen, we all had our bad habit. If you never had any bad habits, there's no point in keeping any good ones. If you never walked on the darker side of the path, you don't know how to value the good side.
Right.
Like I was talking to a lady during the summer, lady I knew, and we were talking about relationships, and she's been married forever, and they're very religious in their way. So
right.
I was saying, okay, so what do you, we ended up on the conversation about relationships and about, you know, some stuff that I've had and gone through and lost. She was, you know, sorry about certain losses that I experienced. And, then we talked about being with people, staying with people. And it wasn't in her concept. I said, well, you know, she said, well, you always have to have that disaster relationship. She said, well, I don't believe that. I have friends. And they have, apparently she was talking about her friends, and the friends were, it was a rough relationship, and they really weren't getting along, but then they decided to really work on it. Now they're like friends, best friends. And I thought, yeah, that's nice. But it might have been nicer if when they wanted to go apart, because they really didn't have anything in common, that they kind of let each other. And she said, no, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in divorce. So I think that, and she just didn't. And I said, well, what if the husband is a violent son of a gun? And, well, I don't believe, you know, well, I don't know. You have to pray. And I thought, okay, but what about the, you know, because we do live, it is okay to leave people who are being crazily abusive to you.
Right.
So I'd like to put that as a message to the world. It is okay to leave situations after due consideration that are terribly, terribly psychotically painful. And not even that the other person is doing terrible things. But I remember I stuck in a relationship for a long time. I was miserably unhappy. I was arguing all the time.
Right.
I was in my early 20s. And I just wouldn't let myself off the hook. You know, I felt like if I left, I would be a failure. And I was holding on to it in a way as a means of not feeling like a failure. Isn't that weird?
It is. And I've been there, too. And I'm actually going through some things currently with regard to making a change in my life, and not feeling like a failure and a failed relationship. But yeah, it's interesting how that works. We don't like to let go of the things that are comfortable to us. We don't like to let go of the things that we've learned to grow and love and the thing that we made the commitment to. That's
right.
Very hard.
Right. And the commitment, you know, in my case was made without really taking it seriously, without understanding what it was. And I really had something else in mind. My head was a gumball machine. I was in my early 20s. I had been through a very tumultuous childhood and a ridiculously kind of shocking post-traumatic stress-inducing adolescence.
Yeah.
Getting sent to essentially a school that was kind of culty and very abusive and really rather deadly to normal development at the ages of 17, 18, you know, and I want to say almost fortunately, in some ways, I had already had so much bad stuff happen to me that I hated the place, and it did affect me, but I was already so lost in some of the other things I had to work on. There were kids who got sent to the school. It's called CEDU.
Yes, you did a documentary on that.
Right, that I got sent to, and they got sent there at, you know, 14 or 15, and I was already fairly screwed up in my own special way when I got there from the joyous stuff my, you know, insane father and his insane wife had done. And so the place affected me, but not the way some of these young kids. Anyway, it's a different story for another time. But I got out, and so I was in this relationship in my early 20s, and I was miserably unhappy. I don't think we had anything in common, but I wouldn't leave. And the reason I stayed in the relationship is because, of course, she said she really loved me, and I wasn't used to hearing that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't mean to induce the puppy sound.
No, it's okay. It just, it's me.
But you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And the fact is, I wasn't very nice in that. I tried to be, but I was not good in that relationship. And I really fell apart, and I reenacted, I think, a lot of this sort of bad behavior of my father. And I didn't mean to. I was watching myself do it, like, in slow motion. Like, don't, what do you, you know, you're being unkind. You're arguing all the time. But I didn't, again, for my way of thinking, I tried to be honest with the girl from the start. Like, I'm kind of a mess, and I don't know if you want to be involved with me, but you seem to like me, so I'll be involved with you. Because some part of me wanted stability, right?
Right.
Some part of me wanted to sort of figure out how to heal. And I thought, well, all I have to do to heal is if somebody loves you, then you go with them, and then somehow it'll be better. But that wasn't true.
No, I've learned that the hard way. I used to think love was enough, you know, that cheesy songs, sometimes love just ain't enough, baby, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is true. I used to think,
yeah, that's a
love
good song.
Is all you need.
Yeah, that's
but
a
you
true
need
song.
So much more than that.
Yeah, that song. I mean, I know what you mean by cheesy, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it's true that I'm gonna have to take a break here real quick. Can you hang on the line with me?
Hanging on.
Well, I want to talk about a word. A word has been coming to mind in this coming, along with this coming new year, as we reflect back on the year that
super,
we've had personally, each of us in our individual lives.
Chia pet?
What?
Chia pet. Is the word chia pet?
Chia. No. No, but there is a word I'll be sharing with you after we get back from the break, and I'll just take your thoughts on that too. So, I can't talk. Hang on the line, Liam. Thank you so much. You're listening to Homegrown Health, a little bit New Year's edition, kind of Christmassy, getting over Christmas right before New Year's. And we're having a little bit of fun here at Homegrown Health on naturalnewsradio.com.
Hey, folks, it's Kurt Linderman with Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio. If you've listened to the show, you know that we talk about organic food all of the time. Well, we've partnered with our good friends in the Chicago area to put our money where our mouth is, and we've started a company called BoxOrganics.com, where you can order the very best organic fruits, veggies, dry goods, dairy, and meats online, and it's delivered right to your door. If you happen to be rural like us, an organic market could be hours away. If you're suburban or even urban, you're probably going to an organic market that also sells foods containing GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, and unhealthy additives. Are you tired of feeding your family foods that have an ingredients list that looks more like a science experiment than food? Then visit BoxOrganics.com to check out our full line of quality organic food. No minimum orders, no group fees, no boxes mixed with items that you don't want. Just great quality, third-party verified, USDA certified organic food. That's BoxOrganics, organics with an X.com. Check us out today.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, wanting to speak to you from my heart. For those of you that listen to my show, you know I'm candid with my words. I have never been so encouraged to endorse a product as I am now. The Natural Action Water Device from Structured Water Technologies. This little device structures your water and neutralizes chemicals so your water is pure natural. No filters, no gimmicks, and no electricity. Just simple biophoton energy. There's a lifetime warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Thinking about water should be serious. Thinking about drinking water is deadly serious. There's too much information to put in this 60-second commercial, so log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. You can also click on the link at my website, RonnieMcMullenShow.com. Do the research and find out why this little water unit is changing the world. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Attention Earthlings, your planet is sick. You are sick, but do not despair. There is hope. There are choices, and you can live and heal in harmony with nature. Live well. Be well. Join the mission at HolisticDiva.com, a blog about natural health, natural living, mind, body, and spiritual growth, inspiration, and unity. Find out how you can be a part of Holistic Diva events and giveaways coming soon. Be the change. Visit HolisticDiva.com today.
Welcome back to Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Cox. Before the break, Liam Sheff, my guest, author of Official Stories. By the way, his book is on sale at Amazon.com or at Create Space, or you can always just visit his website to dig into the many wonderful articles and things that he's written or created at LiamSheff.com. Liam, thanks again for joining me.
No, yes.
Yes, of course. We have fun with this radio thing, so we're going to continue on from our, and I don't know, first ever Bah Humbug show as we filled in for Robert Scott Bell yesterday. Anyway, we were talking about New Year's resolutions, and I started reflecting on the year that I've had, and I started thinking about the word humbled. That's the one word I think that would describe my entire year. Do you have a word, Liam?
I can't.
I'm almost afraid to ask.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's a terrible setup for me.
Is it? I'm sorry.
No, it's just this is a really rated sort of G-12,
family,
you know, PG.
Show.
Yeah, more or less slightly PG sometimes when you get into the placenta gummy bear stuff. But
oh, stop. Liam, the vegetarian, can't imagine what it's like to eat a placenta.
Oh, God.
Unless he really needed it.
Oh, no.
I know how to push his.
Oh, no, wait.
And my laugh button.
Oh,
and I know
no.
how to push his puke button.
Oh, no, wait. Oh. Okay.
Come on, Lee.
Woo.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yo.
So my word is humbled after the events that occurred this year in my life. And I just really feel, you know, this next year is a huge, huge change for me personally, spiritually, emotionally, in every way. It's been quite the journey. So, Placenta Boy, do you have a word?
Oh, holy mackerel. Oh. Everybody. Hey, Homegrown Health. Placenta fans, see Joni.
Placenta encapsulation dehydration takers arise.
Yeah. Whoa, man. Placentoids. What do we call? What do we call your fans? The placentas. The placentoids. Yeah. Are you a placentoid?
No, it's like I'm backup singers.
Yeah, I don't want to be called that. It also, right. I'm trying to keep everything very PG here. Very G12.
Okay.
That's my rating system for Homegrown Health, because I could say a lot of things that would be very problematic for our.
We'll
good
do it special about that
for our good friend, the Mike Ranger. For our good,
the Mike friend, Ranger,
the Mike Ranger,
Mike Adams, the Health Ranger,
the Health Ranger, the Mike Ranger, Ranger Adams. I wonder if he is a ranger. If I show up and I have questions about building a lean-to, will Mike be there? That's my question.
I think Mike will be there.
I bet he can. I bet he could build a lean-to.
I know he could.
Humbled. Well, you mean you had the snort kicked out of you? Is that what you mean? Emotionally, psychologically? I mean, what do you mean by humbled?
All of it. I endured a lot of moves this year. And then we, of course, if you've been a longtime Homegrown Health listener, you know I lived in a house with the brown recluse spiders and then wasn't able to live there. And it was just seemed to be a year where everything chaotic that could come my way and kind of build into this large crescendo, it would just felt like just one pile of heaping crap after another. And a lot of it, I think, is a result of not dealing with the emotional issues that I needed to deal with over the years and kind of being an emotional stuffer. And it all just seemed to come to a head and blow up all at the same time. And it was just one thing after another. And so as when you go through these situations, it's interesting because you don't really realize how bad it is when you're in the middle of it until somebody on the outside has to go in and say, excuse me, that's kind of bad. You're kind of dealing with a really hectic situation there. How are you holding up? So I've really been forced to deal with a lot of the emotional stuffing and bring it all out and just kind of sort through it. And through that process, it's been life changing, but it's also been very humbling. And it had, the whole year has been like that.
Yeah. I think I hit that. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to trust my own instincts and I'm just going to work really hard. When I got out of that relationship I was talking about, you know, we both sort of laughed a number of times and I was more or less waiting in my head to feel that she could go out and be on her own because I think she felt very, she wasn't dependent on me. She always, not in any financial way, but she, I think she felt that way and I didn't, you know, she had to leave. I mean, it might've been a little while longer before I finally said, look, this isn't healthy. I knew it wasn't good for a long time, but finally, because, you know, I left and she left and I left and she left and finally she was on her way. And I mean, I felt terrible and I was depressed, but I didn't, the relationship was bad. And I said to myself, self, you seem very depressed and, it can't be her because you weren't happy when she was around. And let's be honest, you were unhappy before she was around. So the problem is in you. And at that point I went, ah, okay. So now it's time to work. And I was in my mid late 20s and it was time for me to work. And I went back to school. I worked very, very, very hard and stopped some of the bad habits that I'd had. And I realized that things that I thought I knew and ways of being that I thought I had, I was incorrect. You know, I'd been incorrect. And I had things to learn and it was pain. It was, you know, it could be like, oh wow. Back in school, not just in school and in going to the places with the cement, brick buildings, whatever, but school in life, the school of life, you're back in school. And, you know, I accepted, I threw my arms around it and I just worked and I really haven't stopped working. It was a long time ago now, but that was a turning point. That was the turning point.
Well, were there lots of fears that you had to work through to get to the point where you were willing to kind of face self? Because I think there's that time where you're like, you can acknowledge that maybe you're dysfunctional or acknowledge that you have this emotional unhealth, but then you don't, it's almost like people seem to be almost too fearful, or at least I know I was a little fearful of actually facing it. What gave you the confidence to do that?
I'm a very strange person. I'm a very unusual person. I've been trying. It's always my major goal in life is to figure out what's true. So my childhood was very difficult because I was around some very dysfunctional but academically successful adults, and they don't. You know, they like you, they love you when you're smart, but not when you're smart at their expense. Like when you can look at the parent and say, you seem to be having a problem with this substance, you know, this liquid drink, or you seem to be, I don't believe that what you're saying is true,
or you're inconsistent or kind of hypocritical.
Yo, yeah. Boy, was I good at pointing that out. And of course it's hard to hear that from a kid. If a kid walked up to me and said this, I'd be like, kid, just shut the curse words and so on and so on. I mean, I wouldn't say, I'd say, wow, that's really interesting of you to point that out. What do you do for a living? You
know, why aren't you getting paid?
Yeah. You'll be very successful, but I would probably listen and be like, that's interesting. You know, it's probably a better way to say that than what you're saying it, but I'm more patient because I was like that, you know, I was precocious. I'm sure I was, and I'm sure it was astoundingly shocking to people. I was always interested in what was true. I did go through my own years of denial, but my years of denial were kind of like 10 through 12, 13, 14. And then when I was 15 or 16 and the bottom fell out in terms of any hope of relationship with my father, and I already knew my mom was very difficult. And look, I love my mother, don't get me wrong, but it was a very difficult relationship when I was younger. And I remembered a number of the abusive situations that had happened at the hands, especially one babysitter, and it always been floating around in my head. And it was in a kind of abuse, and you can kind of imagine because they were a Catholic family. You can put your imagination to work and understand the kind of abuse it was. And I'm glad it wasn't like a constantly repeated thing, actually. And I'm not going to consider myself lucky for having it happen. But on the other hand, there are people who were abused, and it happened over and over and over and over again. And they were just torn apart. You know, they just almost... So I've known some of those people too, but it was devastating to me. It was devastating to me to be abused, but I didn't have anybody to tell. My mother wasn't around. She was working all the time, and my father wasn't around. So I don't know. I went like nuts. And the worst thing for me, the hardest thing for me is, of course, to keep a secret, like something that I think is important.
Right.
I mean, you know, I can keep a secret. That's, I mean, if it's whatever, stuff that doesn't matter, it's none of my business. That's a different story. But if it's something that's truly emotionally significant, I need to talk about it, which is, I guess, why I'm good on the air or on the radio. Like, just tell the truth.
Well, you're just so open and vulnerable about it. And you know, you are good at it because we're all human and we all share very similar emotions and thoughts and feelings.
Right. I actually have to I have to forcibly censor my, there are a couple of things I'm like, that's nobody's business. Shut up.
No, I find myself doing the same thing.
Right. Cause I do have a, you know, I'm like very open, and I feel that in the end you end up attracting more good people than bad. Even though you can attract a wanker every once in a while, or like a stalky person. But, in the end, you know, you figure you attract more open people. And I'm not a sucker for, people who are just always feigning suicide need you to save them. And, you know, I'm not worried about that. I don't walk down that, like, good luck, here's the therapy number, go work that out.
Right.
But my, you know, my friends can have problems and I can listen, but they, my friends are people who are working on themselves, and I'm there to be supportive, not there to be a constant crutch for stuff they're not going to work on.
Right.
But I remembered at 15 and 16 what had happened. I went and immediately told, and I'm like, I need, and I said, and that's how I get sent to the CEDU, by the way. I said that crazy school. I said, I need help. I remember being molested. And the great thing that the idiot parents I had did was what they had always done. And that, you know, my biggest problem wasn't being open or realizing if I needed to work on something, my biggest problem was trusting the wrong people with the bloody information.
Mm.
You know, I looked at how do I say this? Instead of realizing that the problems that I had at that age were due to the, no offense to the, you know, the mother, well, I don't care what my father thinks, but, you know, to the mother and father that I'd had and the situations that I've been put in, I actually went and told, you know, that's who I told. And that was a mistake. If you can understand that, it's an understandable mistake. It's a forgivable mistake. I was a kid. You're supposed to be able to tell your parents stuff, but that's a mistake that I made over and over again in life.
Oh, and it speaks up such an alley for me. For some reason, I grew up without a filter for what and who were safe people and who were not. And so I, like you, found myself not trusting the right people or giving too much trust to the wrong people. And then when it came back to bite me, it bit me very hard, but I didn't seem to learn the lesson well enough to stop myself from continuing that mistake until it just really finally gave me delivered a wallop I couldn't get up from. So that the point got drove home pretty hard then.
Mm. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their heads and saying, yeah, that's us. You know, that's
right.
I mean, that's the human condition.
Gonna head into another break from this conversation of New Year's resolutions, life talk, and just embracing our humanity. More with author of Official Stories, Liam Sheff, when we return. I'm your host, Joni Abbott Cox. You're listening to Homegrown Health on naturalnewsradio.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience
experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful enough to destroy the causes of many serious diseases, such as strep, staph, pneumonia, cold, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com, and like us on Facebook.
As the new year approaches, are you ready for more? More health, more vitality, and more well-being. Hi, this is Pastor Ginny, and for 25 years, I spent my life's work teaching people how to achieve more. But in 2010, I got a lesson of my own about RNA drops. I learned that there are millions of gene switches latent in every single cell of my body that are waiting for an activator. I learned that by taking one natural substance, I could begin to activate that power in my genes and achieve the more that I desired. I'd like to share what I discovered with you and offer you a free sample of the product that I've been using for almost 2 years that has created extraordinary results in my life. Go to www.rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call me toll free at 888-577-3703. That's 888-577-3703. rnafreesample.com. Discover the more that's waiting for you.
Welcome back to Homegrown Health. I'm your host, Joni Abbott Cox, along with author of Official Stories, Liam Sheff. Before the break, we were discussing the human condition, some of our past experiences, and Liam with friendships.
People come up, and a lot of people seem to tell me their troubles to some degree or another, and they go, oh, this is the worst thing. Yeah, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Nobody ever came up to me and said, I'm a child molester. People know what my response would be. I go, well, I'm afraid you have to go turn yourself in. Right. You need help, and you do have to make up to the people you hurt. But people come up and like, oh, I've been in my relationship, and I'm having trouble with this, this, and this. And like, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the human condition. And my advice is always the same. If you're having trouble, go with your partner and go talk to somebody who can listen to both of you and help you listen to each other. And if your partner's not willing to do that, then you have a longer term problem. And
right.
And you maybe have to make decisions down the line after you really, give it some hard consideration. But yeah, I believe in talk therapy as opposed to psychiatry, which is an analysis where somebody tells you what you are. I don't believe in. And I don't believe in drug therapy, really, not really.
No, but talk therapy, communication is so unbelievably important, as we know. And we all know this, and yet fail to do it sometimes in our own daily lives. I think being more you, and we had this discussion, I think, off the air as we were preparing for the Christmas show that we did, the Bah Humbug special. And we were talking about the ancient Greece and the Delphi, right? The temple at Delphi, or the archway, the stone archway that's there. And there are two things on there that have just stuck with me since I found out those things were carved in stone. And that was, one is know thyself, and the other is nothing in excess. And the know thyself really struck me, because how many people in our day and age can really say they're true to themselves and that they really do know themselves, and they at least know themselves well enough to fix things that are wrong, or to work on things that are wrong, or pursue those things that are right.
Yes, go ahead. I was sort of waiting for you to tell me. Go, all right, yes.
So, I'm just telling you that because when you talk about knowing yourself and fixing the things and doing what you've done, I don't know many people like you. The majority of the people I know are not people who are safe people or who are people who are willing to aspire to be better. And that's sad to me that the state that the human condition has become.
Yes, but on the other hand, look at me. I don't. I didn't engage in essentially doing a normal relationship where I'm 42 this year and I don't have two kids. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a house. I don't have a car. I travel a lot for work. Before that, I did have a more stable life for a long time with somebody who did, unfortunately, leave the planet, aneurysm, you know. So I was kind of on a different path. But what I'm saying is I never aspired to be the millionaire. I have some pretty strong talents, and I never used those just to gain money. So know thyself won't make you money. And just by saying that, you understand, number one, Socrates was killed by his own people. Know thyself was his slogan, or one of them. Number two, you can understand the culture we're in doesn't function on know thyself. It functions on keep the economy going.
True. Which is why some people don't know themselves, or they won't take the time to do it because they are so money driven or power driven that they don't. I mean, there are people out there, like I watched my dad work a job he hated for years. I mean, just because it was his duty to provide for his family, but he didn't live his passion. And I remember saying, I'm never going to do anything that I hate that much for money. So I learned a valuable lesson through his misfortune. And that's why I'm in radio, because I love it.
Right. I watched my mother get into a field. My mother's very, very, very bright. Very bright, very smart woman, you know, smarter than her siblings who, you know, some of them are, you know, really brilliant, at least in terms of what you can do with in an analytical or academic sense, but maybe life skills really lacking. But they didn't have to worry about that because they got into the right place initially to make the money or whatever, make the living that they needed to through that first thing. But I think my mother wanted to be more than that. But on the other hand, she was a very divided personality and she wanted to please the paterfamilias, you know, the father of the family. So she went into medicine and she hated it. And it's not that she wasn't good at it. The problem is medicine is a cutthroat. It was, and I think remains, really a cutthroat boys club. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, she's coming up in the 70s, right? So life was a cutthroat boys club and they treated her like crap and she took it very personally and she's a more sensitive person, but she didn't quite have the, I don't know, psychological will or strength to get out of it. I mean, she sort of made me feel like it was my fault. Like I'm doing this job for you. And I thought, well, that sucks. I mean, I don't want to be responsible for somebody's pain. So that sent a message to me, which was don't get into something that you really hate.
Yep.
Don't tell anybody that you're doing something for them that makes you unhappy. That's no good. And I talked to her about it as an adult. I said, you know, I wish she hadn't said that to me. She said, yeah, you know, I was doing it for the money. And I said, yeah, but that money didn't do any good because, number one, you didn't have any money until I was 13. And at that point, it was too late. I hadn't seen you for like 8 years. And I never needed money. I mean, I would have been, she was smart and she would have been a really great teacher at a prep school or something. And that would have been a good environment for me to grow up. And I would study Latin and Greek and all those kinds of things that I really loved, and the arts and history and European history, all those one in world history, all the things that I do love. But she couldn't quite forgive herself for having had a marriage that didn't work out to somebody her parents didn't like. So she went into the family business, which was medicine. This is the story of a lot of men, right? They go into the family business, even though they hate it, to support their families. That's what my mother did. So I learned kind of a double lesson, don't sacrifice your soul. Don't worry about the bloody family business. You make a better business out of what you're doing with your life. That'll be the family business.
And doing the things that you love.
Yeah. that you're good at. You know, do the things that you love because you love them. Do the things that you love that you're good at to make a living.
Wow. Yeah, like what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
It's really something to be able to do what you love and also get paid to do it because it really doesn't seem like work as much.
Liam, thank you for being my guest today. We always have fun chatting it up a little bit, and moving right along to New Year's, I thought was a very good way of continuing the thoughts from our Bah Humbug Christmas special. So what are some of your worst or best New Year's resolutions? Go ahead and go to facebook.com/homegrownhealth and post them there. I'd love to continue the discussion over there. Or shoot me an email at homegrownhealthradio@gmail.com. According to one of the lists online that I found for the top 10 worst New Year's resolutions, I think it's worst because I don't think many people choose to stick to it. I think these are the ones that get broken easiest. Okay, number one, spend more time with friends and family. Two, exercise. And, you know, this is all part of homegrown health, the aspect of moving your body, being intuitive with your food, really learning what real food is, educate yourself, which brings us to number three, losing weight. Number four, quit smoking, as I mentioned earlier. Five, enjoy life more. Six, quit drinking. If you're drinking heavily, we need to have a liver discussion. Now, maybe I'll do one of those soon on homegrown health as well. Seven, get out of debt, which I think is just as really important, just as important emotionally to you, spiritually, physically, you know, getting out of debt, that having that black cloud hanging over you is no fun. Number eight, learn something new. Number nine, get a better job, which we covered. And 10, get organized. And who could use a little bit of help there, right? I know I can. Any busy moms out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You may have heard Liam gag a little bit earlier when we talked about placenta encapsulation or placenta eating. It does happen all around the world, actually. And I wanted to share with you a little bit more about the idea of placenta encapsulation, dehydrating the placenta and encapsulating it in order to take it postpartum. And it does help ward off your postpartum blues. A lot of women don't know this is an available option to them because when you're in the hospital, anything that's considered a biohazard or anything that comes out of your body, whether it's blood or after they, you know, take the placenta, they move it away from you. You don't even get to see what it looks like. Some women are curious, or maybe if you work it out with your in-hospital caregiver or midwife, they may show it to you and say, you know, this is the life force that was feeding your baby and fueling your baby the entire time. Others won't. They'll just whisk it away and it was like it was never there. I think it's very important to take a look at what comes out of your body. You look at your baby, right? Well, you also deliver the placenta. And I think having a great understanding of what it is and what it did in your body, what it does for your baby, and knowing, just simply knowing that that is the size of the wound inside of your uterus once it detaches, and that is what takes so long to heal. That's what you want to honor, that hole in your body all of a sudden. You know, it's going to take time to heal. It's going to take time for your uterus to shrink back down and for your body to return to normal. Without seeing that and without understanding that, I think postpartum care, in fact, I know postpartum care gets cut short in our country. I don't see the necessary care being given to postpartum mothers. They don't do it to themselves, and the caregivers don't, I don't think, allow for enough recovery time and true concern for what really just took place inside and outside of the body. So, a lot of women experience postpartum depression. And even, yes, women who have natural births, unmedicated births. I tend to find that women who have had C-sections or traumatic births tend to run into the postpartum depression numbers a little bit more. I see it occurring more in women, at least in my own experience interacting with, you know, hundreds of women throughout my birthing years. And even now, I get feedback from moms who, you know, who have had traumatic births, and that tends to feed into the postpartum depression a little bit more. But occasionally there, you know, some of us will be feeling blue, especially first-time moms when they've never experienced this before. They're not sure what to do. They don't maybe have the help that they need. And it can be quite overwhelming and then, you know, usher right into depression. Nutrition is one of the first things that I can think of to help ward off depressed feelings or, you know, baby blues after having baby. That's so important to keep your nutrition up as your body heals. But the placenta and encapsulation of your placenta eating, as we kind of call it, has its place. And I don't know if you've heard of it before, but it's just such a wonderful option for women who didn't know they had options. In some cultures around the world, it is quite common to make a soup out of the placenta. It's common for mammals to eat their placenta. Cats do it. Other mammals, almost all mammal animals, eat their placenta. They never leave it out. I think one of that being a protective nature to keep another animal from smelling the blood or the meat, because it is meaty. And the other is to replenish their body with all of the nourishment that was in the placenta, putting that back into the body, especially after enduring something as strenuous as birth. It's likened unto running a 26-mile marathon. And so, you know, after a good workout, you need to replenish your body with fluids and proper nutrition. Well, giving birth is definitely one of those times that it's absolutely crucial and necessary for mom and baby that mom gets not only the proper rest, but also proper nourishment. And so the idea was presented to me in my first birth, and I didn't really experience postpartum depression, so I really wasn't really inclined to do it, but it fascinated me. So my first home birth, I did not do it at all. And then the second home birth, I thought, yeah, I think I might like to do that. And I actually ended up doing it for a friend of mine. I actually helped her with dehydrating it and encapsulating it. And it was time consuming, but it was fantastic help to my friend. She recovered quicker. She recovered faster and better than she did with her previous births. So she continued to take the placenta pills until they were gone and then just went on about her merry way. Of course, we know it's going to be strong and iron, but I believe there are other nutrients in the placenta that really helps mom. For instance, if we run into an emergency where there's hemorrhaging involved, you could actually, in an emergency, take a bite of the placenta, which would stop that hemorrhaging. And it has worked in field medicine. It's worked out in emergency medicine. And trust me, if it's hemorrhaged to death or take a bite of your placenta, you're going to take a bite of the placenta for a medicinal purpose. I don't care how gross it might seem now. You never know what you're capable of until you're in that situation. So I know women who have, in my birthing groups and the different birthing groups that I've attended, mothers have sworn by it. They said, I was hemorrhaging to death and I reached over and took a bite of that placenta and it stopped everything. And it's so chock full of the hormones. And so how amazing that we were given that, not only to nourish our baby, but to be able to nourish ourselves and kind of have a way out of, dealing with postpartum depression. Again, it's natural. It's completely natural. And there are lots of places out there. There's a great Facebook page, Carolina, the placenta lady. She's fantastic and posts some really beautiful pictures. And I think it's quite poetic that the placenta looks like a tree. Very life-giving. And stars have even done it. You know, a lot of your attachment parenting moms are coming out and talking. Bolick from, she was Blossom in the 90s show. She wrote a book called Beyond the Sling and Attachment Parenting. The artist, the pop artist Pink, she is an unapologetic nursing and public mama who also practices attachment parenting. So many moms have come out and spoken forth. So as Dr. Sears, they've just continued to write books. And I think it just becomes something that's more mainstream than we even realize. And thank you, Jamie Lynn, who also does attachment parenting. She has been a previous guest on the show. She was the mom on the front cover of Time magazine nursing her three-year-old little boy, Aram. So she is a good friend, and I'm just thankful that a lot of moms are stepping forward and more willing to talk about this style of parenting and this alternative style of birthing to make it forced into the mainstream, to make it a little bit easier for other moms to know that they have a way. One of the questions is, can your placenta go bad? Yes, it can. It needs to be refrigerated immediately and dehydrated and encapsulated within the first 24 hours or as close to the birth as possible. If it is not refrigerated in the first 24 hours, yes, it can go bad. So it needs to be frozen. If you're not going to use it right away, then freeze it. Don't waste it, so to speak, by leaving it out in a bucket. As I did with my second birth, it just kind of got set on the table and I put some newspapers over it because I didn't want my sister or family to freak out. Like, what's this thing sitting on the dining room table right after I had the baby? So I accidentally left it out too long. So what I did do, though, is I instead of consuming it, I froze it and then later used it to plant things like a tree. That's some families choose to use the placenta to nourish a healthy growing tree, and they plant one after the birth of each child, which I think is really neat too. I'm going to run through a quick top 10 list of reasons why to eat your placenta. I found this online at findyourbalancehealth.com. One, it beats the heck out of Zoloft. Isn't that true? You know, the psychiatric drugs that a lot of women get put on, I think really makes them worse. And here at Homegrown Health, I don't ever suggest psychiatric drugs. I just don't. I think the psychiatry industry is crazy in and of itself, and there are lots of reasons why I believe that. But to sum it up nicely, go to cchrint.org and watch some of their videos, and then you can creep up my crawl if it still bothers you that I made that statement. Number two, everyone's doing it. You know, it's very common for mammals to consume their own placenta. So if all mammals carry and nurse their babies, then maybe we should think about taking a cue from them and consuming our own. Three, it's a real whole food. It is. You know, it's kind of meaty, but it is definitely real whole food. It's better than most stuff people eat every day. Parts and things like hot dogs and McRibs. Ugh, I don't know if you read that story, but go Google what's in a McRib and tell me again why a placenta, which you know the ingredients of, should not be eaten. Okay, number four, your post-baby body is kind of a wreck afterwards, right? So physically, emotionally, you name it, during this huge transition, it's probably a good idea. If there's anything you can do to help yourself, I'd say do it. Number five, it's not expensive at all. All you have to do is buy the vegetarian capsules or veggie caps that to encapsulate it. And if you have a dehydrator, fine. And if not, you could even dehydrate it in your oven on a very low setting. Or you can just pay someone to do the service for you, which there are women out there who do it, and it can cost anywhere from, you know, $100 to $200 for the service. Six, it gives you energy. Many moms report a significant boost of energy from their happy placenta pills. That sounds like heaven to many moms, doesn't it, who usually drag by through the first 6 months, especially if you're nursing. Number seven, it's been celebrated for thousands of years in many cultures. They actually have ceremonies and rituals surrounding the placenta. Why? Because there must be some traditional understanding of its power. Aha. Number eight, it tastes great in a smoothie. No, that's not why, really. It doesn't. It's if you've ever smelled encapsulated dehydrated placenta, it's actually quite strong. But again, what people eat, really just kind of swallowing this, is not really a big deal. It's no different than taking a supplement. Number nine, it's really cool to freak out your friends, right? That's not a reason to do it. I don't know what is. And number 10, again, why not? Why the heck not? It won't hurt. It actually might help a bit. And let me tell you, there are many things about childbirth and motherhood that are much, much more gross. That does it for me, Joni Abbott Cox on Homegrown Health. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'd love to hear your story. If you took your placenta in any way, shape, or form, go to facebook.com/homegrownhealth or email me at homegrownhealthradio@gmail.com. And just remember, we like to educate and provide information to help you take charge of your health and healing all from home.